Just for a few minutes at the end of our program, I would like to speak from, there's a verse I'm going to show you here, but I'm going to do what Jesus did when he was here on earth. He took everyday things that people would be familiar with, that they used or they saw, and he would use those to help to explain some of the things that his Bible teaches us, some of the things that teach us about God and about ourselves. So, although we have this verse up here, I'm going to use some things to help us to understand some other truths in God's Word. Now, if you look at that verse, can anybody maybe guess what kind of object I might use today to teach some truths from God's Word? Have a good long think about that. Any ideas? Any words in there stand out, Alice? A hammer. That is so good. Will we say this verse together? Okay. Just the verse, not where it's found, after 2:1-2. Is not my word like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? And there's a hammer for breaking rocks. It has a name. Can you think about somebody who's really, 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 really brainy and who breaks rocks to see what's inside, and they're able to tell us stuff from breaking rocks? Any ideas who that person might be? There's a hand up at the back, and Daniel's just itching to say, because he sees the answer on the screen, by the way, so I'm not even going to ask him. Alice again. Yes, it is a science. It's, anybody know what Louise's husband trained to be? No, they don't. And he's out in Burkina Faso at the minute because he does this job and he's able to use the fact that he has studied rocks to help to find water for people in African villages who have no fresh and clean water. No ideas. Well, there it is. It's a geologist's hammer. You know, geologists are wonderful people, as Louise will tell you. But when you think about how they can know where to look for water, when you would look for miles and miles, and all you would see is dust and rock and sand and no green shoots or trees or vegetation, and yet the geologist knows where to look and where to drill and where to find water. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? But that's not all. Geologists are able to tap open rocks and they maybe find there a fossil. And they're able to learn so much from that. And when I thought about that, it made me think about the geologists digging up the past. Now, boys and girls, we've all got a past. Your past is short, but every day that you live, it gets longer. And my past is a lot longer than your past. And there's people here, and their past is nearly 90 years. And that's a long, 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 long time. But when we think about all of those years that we have lived right up to this moment, there were lots and lots of times when we didn't do what maybe we should have done. And certainly there are lots and lots of times when we didn't live to please the Lord. And all of that is in our past. And in the Bible, we are told that God knows all about our past. You see, some folk might just know bits, and they might know the things that we want them to know. But God knows all about our past. And we don't like it, sure we don't, whenever we've got a wee bit of street cred, and we think, you know, people see who we want them to see, and they like us for that person that we want them to think we are. But then somebody comes along, and they say, I was at school with you, and I know the sort of wee nerd you were at school. You were a wee scunner. And they're able to dig up the past. And we don't like that. And maybe it's far more serious than that. Maybe it's somebody, and they know. They know what really happened in the past. Well, God knows everything about our past. And of course, he knows that we have in us that old nature that finds it easier to be cheeky than to be nice, finds it easier to say no than say yes, finds it easier to do the wrong thing than to do the right thing. And as we look over our past, there are lots and lots of things that weren't nice. The Bible calls that sin. And that's a problem because the Bible also tells us nothing that defiles will ever get into God's heaven. So if we have sin, we're not going there. So there's a problem. And the first hammer, the geologist's hammer, tells us about that. Well, there was a man at the very beginning of your Bible, and he's the first man we read about. Now, you know the Bible begins with God, but this is the first person, the first human. Anybody know the name of the first human in the Bible? Joel has his hand up. Good man, Adam. Anybody here called Adam? No Adams today. Well, Adam was an amazing person because he had something that we're not born with. He's born with perfect health and eternal life. Hopefully, babies born are well, but not every baby is. And maybe it's not too long in our life until we things go wrong. That wasn't true about Adam. He was created with perfect health and eternal life. I like the next bit. He had the perfect wife. You see, she was made for him. I know there's people in this church, and sometimes when I look at these couples, and I just go, she was made for him. Pity they broke the mold. But Eve was really made for Adam. Do you know something else? Eve thought it was wonderful. The reason why, there was nobody else to compare him with. And then the other way, well, Adam had nobody else for Eve to think that he was jealous. There's nobody else there. So that was a wonderful, perfect situation. You think about that. They had the perfect diet because none of the fruit and vegetables had to be sprayed. There was no blight. There was no diseases. There was no bad weather conditions that ruined the crops. It was always there when they needed it, the perfect diet. They lived in the perfect setting. You don't have to go too far out of here and you'll find that there's crumbling masonry, there's maybe peeling paint, hopefully it's not in the church. And you'll maybe find graffiti, you'll find rude things sprayed on walls. You'll maybe find things that people have done as vandalism. They have wrecked things that don't belong to them. You'll find electricity pylons, you'll find wind turbines, you'll find all these ugly things. You'll find barbed wire. But Adam and Eve lived in the perfect setting. There were none of those things. Pretty perfect life so far, isn't it? And then Adam had the perfect position in life. That just means Adam had no boss except God. Now, boys and girls, maybe you think that your family are bossy. Maybe you think at school the teachers are bossy. And then people who go to work, maybe it's not easy at work. Maybe you don't like your manager. Can you imagine being the person at the top? Because that's what Adam was. He had the perfect position in life. There was nobody above him except God. He had the perfect job. There was no weeds or thorns or anything in the Garden of Eden. So all he had to do was dress the garden. And I think the Garden of Eden would have been like a big discovery place where he would look at such a wee shoot coming up and think, oh, wonder what that's going to grow into. And then the amazement in his eyes as he saw it grow into a fruit tree or a beautiful flower. And then he would see how the insects and the birds would come, and it would just be amazing, because he hadn't been told any of these things. There were no way to pass that information on to him. He had no books to read, no Google. None of these things. This would have been amazing for him. Perfect job. And he could work his own hours. He also had perfect peace in his mind, because he had no conscience to bother him. He had no enemy to dislike him. Isn't that amazing? All these perfect things. And he had the perfect friend, God. God would never tell him a lie or let him down. God would always be there. In fact, every evening when it got a wee bit cooler, Adam would walk with God and talk with God. That was a perfect life, wasn't it? And he had a perfect contract. A contract is where somebody says one thing and says, well, that's the rules. And then the other person keeps the rules. But there only was one rule. I'm sure many people here, as they grow up, will discover, even at school, you have lots and lots and lots of rules. You have rules for the classroom, you have rules for the corridor, you have rules for the dining hall, you have rules for the playground, you have rules about what to wear and what to bring. Adam only had one rule, just one. Isn't that brilliant? Surely it couldn't be hard to work with one rule. But something happened. And now I'm going to use another hammer to help us with this. Anybody recognize that hammer? No? What's that? You never seen one of those before? I used to get toffee at Christmas, and it came with a hammer. Boys and girls, toffee's so bad for you. It's full of sugar, and that's bad enough, and that wrecks your teeth. But it can also pull your teeth out. Has anybody any wiggly teeth here? And all the 90-year-olds have their hands up. Fix it in. Wiggly teeth. Try eating toffee. You'll have no problem after that. They'll be gone. They'll come out. So it's bad for you. But the problem is, it's also tasty. It's also delicious. Do you know, that's the problem with temptation is, most of the things that God says in the Bible we shouldn't do, they are bad for us. But there's a problem inside us because we find them so tempting. We just want them. Well, the devil got into the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve were. And he convinced Eve that God was holding something back from them. That's what he did. Don't touch that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge. And of course, he convinced them that they would be just like God if they took it. And God didn't want that. So he's holding something back from them. You know, that's what temptation is like. Especially if you have come to know Jesus as your Savior as a young person. The devil still today will tell you, do you know something? God doesn't want you to enjoy yourself. Go and do that because God's holding you back. He's keeping something from you. And look at how many people's lives are a total mess because they listen to that. Adam thought he was missing out. Now, you have to remember, this is the man who had everything. And it was perfect. But he thought he was missing out. And he was tempted. And something happened. And we'll use another hammer. Anybody seen one of those? Yes. Name for it. Sledgehammer. Thanks, Claire Louise. I don't recommend, boys and girls, that you go out and get the hold of one of these anytime soon. Because you might drop it in your toe for a start and you'll soon know about it. A sledgehammer. What would that be used for? Yes, Al, let's go for it. That's a good answer. But I would think, if I was going looking for a sledge, it was probably to bash stuff down, knock down a wall, knock a hole through if I wanted to create a doorway somewhere. I would get the sledge out, and I would get wrecking with the sledge. Of course, that reminds me of destroying things. You see, when Adam and Eve did what God said they shouldn't do, all that wonderful life they had was destroyed. And that's why we live in a world with problems today, and a ruined world, a fallen world. We shouldn't be surprised that bad things happen, because it all comes from that. Jesus talks about the devil, and he says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, have it to the full. Do you know, as soon as Adam and Eve did what God said they shouldn't do, instead of feeling great, look, nothing happened, this is wonderful, told you, and we're full of the knowledge of good and evil, and it's, yes, God was keeping something back from it, and we're really enjoying this. Do you know what happened? As soon as they disobeyed, they felt afraid. They'd never felt afraid before. They felt ashamed. They'd never felt ashamed before. They were scared to speak to God. They'd never felt that before. See, the devil will tempt you and tell you, this is all right, that's all right, and that'll be a good life, and you'll not know. But then he doesn't tell you the small print. And that brings me to this hammer. I hope none of you ever have to see that. There's a couple of hands. There's three hands up. Yes, son. What do you think that hammer is? Who's using it? Brilliant man. The judge's hammer. That's a good answer. Order in court. I'm thinking of getting one up here. The judge's hammer. And of course, the judge has to work out if you're guilty or not guilty. And he has a law to use. You know, the first five books in this Bible are described as the law of God. And of course, if we look at that law, we realize there's an awful lot of things in there God expects of us. He expects perfection. Do you know something? That's there to show us that we can't actually keep God's law. There was only one person who lived in this earth who kept God's law perfectly. Any ideas who that might be? Yes. Jesus. Brilliant. Jesus kept God's law perfectly. In fact, Jesus did what Adam failed to do. Well, in your school or preschool, is there a time in the week where you go to sin classes? No. When you look down your program for school, your timetable, does it say on Tuesday at 11:10 we're going to sin classes? No. You see, you don't have to be taught. Second nature is there. And whenever we think of the things we shouldn't have done, we realize God's not pleased. We can't get into his heaven, so there's a problem. He wants us there. He made us to enjoy us. So I wonder what God did. So that all the things we've done, they're dealt with, and they must be punished, so that that all happens. Not just brushed under the carpet. Not just forgotten about. Has to be dealt with. But at the same time, he knows that we can't do anything ourselves. We can never be good enough. We can't keep his law. I wonder what kind of a plan God came up with. Well, here's another hammer. Very, 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 very sad hammer. And it was a real hammer. And it really hammered real nails into the real hands and feet of Jesus. I wonder what the Roman soldier felt when he used that hammer. But I also wonder what Jesus felt when that hammer was being used. See, God's plan was to put my sin on his lovely son Jesus and to ask Jesus to take the punishment for my sin. And Jesus did that on the cross. And he died there for you and for me, so that we could have the eternal life that Adam lost. We could go to heaven and be with him and enjoy the presence of God. I wonder, do you realize that's why Jesus came? Here's another hammer. This has a name. And there's a lot of builders and DIY experts in here. Can anybody tell me what that hammer is? You're all scared to say in case it's the wrong word, aren't you? Good man, Sam. There'll be nothing for you after the service. A claw hammer. And the thing about a claw hammer is one bit of it puts something in and another bit of it pulls something out. Do you know when you trust Jesus as your Saviour, the sin's out and God the Spirit comes in. And he gives us the power and the help we need to then live for him. The claw hammer. Something out, but something else comes in. I'm going to show you one more. Any ideas where you might see a hammer like that? Sophie's got it. Inside the piano is right. The piano hammer. It's one that we mightn't think about too much, but it's there. And the piano hammer is there for the pianist to use to make a wonderful sound. But isn't it great when they can be used together? Hit a chord there for us, Andrea. Or if you have a wee piece of classical music in your memory, from the water music by Handel would be. Go ahead. Give us another one. Oh, if you could put words to that. Thank you so much. But do you see the beauty of that? All working together. All doing their job. But not only that, there's the touch of the Master's hand. We're buttering you up, stay. Do you know the Lord wants to use you and me, but he wants us to work together as well. And that's why it's good that you come to things like Campaigners, you come to church, you come to youth organizations, come to Sunday school, where you can be together. And God just loves to see that and how he can use us when we are together. God wants to use you. And he wants to use some of you older folks here today who maybe think, oh, there's plenty of Campaigner leaders. Maybe you could be one. Maybe Sunday school could do with you as a teacher and youth fellowship and youth club and all of these different ministries from our church. You could be working for him.